Hi, and welcome to another episode of China on the Rocks, a podcast where we talk about F&B and everything in between. My name is Logan. I'm wearing headphones. I'm joined by my awesome, cool co-host.
Hi, guys. Anna here. I'm also the new sound engineer. Just set it up the headphones for us. We got a new little deck set up, and it feels great to hear ourselves again.
Yeah, we have all the buttons pushed.
Yeah, it was a lot of trial and error. We just kept pushing buttons until it worked, and hey, it's working.
Yeah, no, Anna is very smart. Like, we pushed every button we could, and Anna figured out the volumes, the sounds, the settings, and she's recording my voice now, and it sounds like this.
So, how was your week?
Oh, it was very interesting. I was at the Wine Expo for the last 3 days.
That's interesting. How was it?
It was actually pretty cool. It was another exhibition thing. So basically, for High Seas, we were very fortunate to be involved. Maybe two halls. I want to say about 1,000 vendors.
1,000? So it's a very big one.
Oh, sweetheart, honey, I don't play games.
Make money moves.
What do you think? I'm going to walk into a small room?
No, because I feel like we go to a lot of this...
Oh, no, you haven't been here.
Wine and spirits festivals that are quite small. They usually have like 30, 40 vendors, which for China is quite small, right? And sometimes they have this national or international like trade shows, and those are like another level.
This one's next level. So... our neighbors, because when you're at these trade shows, it's very cool because you meet a lot of different interesting people, right? So across from me, and this is what I think is going to be cool for you, Anna, these guys had a coffee, and they had coffee liqueur. It wasn't coffee, it was coffee liqueur. We talked about Patron XO on the podcast and how we missed Patron XO.
I don't think we talked on the podcast. We talked in the distillery, actually, something we can visit here.
So I was talking to these people. They're super nice, and they're from Marseille, France. And basically they had coffee from every, like they had Peru, Brazilian, Dominican, like six coffees, and super interesting. And what I thought was really cool was they had a decaf.
Oh, a decaf coffee liqueur.
Yeah, who does a decaf coffee liqueur? Everything's 24%. They had no distribution in China, but everything was 24%. And I was like, holy crap. You could do a decaf, like espresso martini. No one's going to get upset because 10 p.m., nobody really wants to drink caffeinated anything.
I don't know. I feel like customers at a bar... for some reason, they want all of the caffeine at 10 p.m.
No, fair enough. But some people don't. You know what I mean? And I was like, oh, this is very interesting. Like, nobody's ever done that. That was the Peruvian one. And then they had single batch caffeine infused cocktails. And the one that was my favorite was the Indian one. And it was just really cool spices.
Oh, nice.
And was like, wow, this is really cool. Like, I didn't know we could do this. It was very interesting. And then there was other stuff. There was a very anise-flavored gin that I had. It wasn't my favorite, but it wasn't bad. I had just a bunch of interesting stuff. Like, I was walking around tasting things. And it was just, like, was such an interesting concept, like, some of these plates. Because they don't have distribution in China.
So they're coming to basically showcase their product and figure out more about the market and see if there's an interest here, right? So they're coming for networking, basically.
Yeah, exactly. They're coming for networking and they're coming for marketing. And I was just there. I'm like, wow, this is so cool. So that was my weekend. How was yours?
Mine is good. Sorry, before we go too far. So the conversation, and I would love people at home to chime in as well, is that I've noticed more and more, like... back in, we had that 80s, 90s cocktail scene where everything was very sweet. And then people kind of took a break. People became more health conscious, more the vodka sodas, the highballs. And then I feel like lately, especially with like Fireball, drinking syrup has become, I call it syrup, but basically very sweet liqueurs has become almost a standard. And I always wondered why, if we're going to talk about this really sweet liqueurs to have a shot of, right? Patron XO was the only one that I could see and like, I understand. I get it. I get why people want to drink this, right? But the funny thing is that they discontinued about, I want to say 5 years ago. They just stopped producing it. And until now, I'm like, I don't understand why, because I feel like that not only sold really well, it was very popular, and it actually tasted good. So I keep like hearing like fake news that they're coming back, but then I have no confirmation. So yeah, Patron XL is what's going on.
Yeah, give us more coffee liqueurs, I think Anna's trying to say.
Yeah, give me more coffee to be able to handle the day. Yes.
We could hear ourselves now, so it's super weird.
It's awesome. I feel like I know how I sound like.
Well, you sound great. I sound like kind of like Frasier meets Parker Lewis, can't lose.
Frasier now. Hello, Seattle. I'm
okay,
listening.
So what's our meat and potatoes today? What are we talking about, Anna?
So I was looking online for some basically other experiences from other bartenders around the world and some stories that were funny. And I've noticed a lot of people were talking about the pleasure of eavesdropping.
Oh, interesting.
Because I feel like another thing that we do really well as F&B people is overhear other people's conversations.
All the time.
Yeah, and you have to learn. I saw an episode recently of Bob's Burgers, which, by the way, I love it because it's like a little family, but it's also very true to F&B in so many aspects.
Oh, no, it's too much. I don't watch it anymore. It's too much.
It's too much. I love it. So one of the episodes, Linda sees a couple arguing, and Linda wants to eavesdrop in the conversation. But she can't because every time they realize that she's listening and they kind of stop and they keep saying, let's go somewhere else, right? So they leave and they come back. And Bob is trying to teach her how to actively eavesdrop without them knowing. So he explains some rules. He's like, first of all, you can't actively listen. You can't make any noises. You can't chime in. You can't be like, what? Like, you can't look at them. And you have to be doing a task, like a manual task. You have to like look busy, but not too busy that looks like you're faking. It has to be just the right amount of busy, right?
Tipate.
Yeah, so like, this is the time you're going to refill the ice wells.
Yeah.
If you're there wiping every bottle in the back bar, they know you're listening. Because, you know, you need to look useful. You need to cut a lot of limes.
Now, you're saying that as a head lime cutter.
Yeah.
I like how you paused.
Yeah. But I was just looking online to see what was the funniest interactions that people overheard.
Okay, what'd you hear?
Okay, so one...
Because this is awesome. Anna, this is a great topic. I came into this thing hot. I was at this other thing today. What did you hear, Anna?
All right, so I'm going to just tell the stories because I read, because the posts were quite big. So, you know, nobody has time for that. But one of the stories that was really funny is that it was a customer that overheard something, that eavesdropped something. So the bartender was a girl, and she does an afternoon shift at a dive bar. And she had a regular customer that was a very, very, like, old lady that goes there and does the crossword puzzles. And she has a glass of wine in the afternoon.
Very fun bar that she works at then.
No, but afternoon shift, we all been there. Like, I used to work at a bar that opened all day, every day. So on the weekdays, we had a lot of people, like, parents going to pick up their kids at school later, and they stopped by for a beer.
That sounds even worse. But you're not making it better.
Yeah, but like, you have these people just,
oh my goodness,
just stopping for a drink in the middle of their commute, basically.
Oh my God. So they're going to, hey, I got to pick up my third grader, but I'm going to get a drink first. Oh,
yeah,
no.
I'm going to get a beer first. Look, in the summer, Hong Kong is very hot. I don't know.
Oh gosh. No, no.
Well, yeah, people sneaking out of the office for a beer. Like, you know, it happens.
Sneaking out, office pumps. Totally fine.
Look. Anyway, so this old lady is there doing the crossword puzzles,
try
and drinking a glass
this,
of wine.
Oscar Fuchs.
And the girl is working alone, and then three guys, day drunk, being total douches, just walk into the bar, right? Now, the first thing that they ordered was some really, like, upshelf nice tequila shots or something. So the girl, because she's short and the shelves are really big, she had to get in one of those little step ladders to go pick it up.
Oh, mama.
Yeah. When she was picking up the bottle, the guys start talking a lot of dirty stuff about the girl.
No way, really?
Oh, yeah, I know. Surprise, surprise.
Oh, no, these are customers.
Customers, yeah. They start being all like, oh, that
I thought
ass.
She was talking dirty stuff about the customers.
That's no. She was just picking up the bottle, and the guys were basically staring at her butt, just talking about her butt, right? And the old lady that's there hears the story and then turns
this is
around.
Cross. I wasn't paying attention. I was thinking about the girl with the butt.
So the customer,
we can hear ourselves now, it's amazing.
I know. So the customer, the old lady turns to them and say, "More respect when you're talking to my granddaughter." And the guys got really, like, they just for some reason didn't think that anyone was paying attention to them, so they got extremely embarrassed, and they not only left a good tip, but they also paid for the lady's drinks before she left and apologized. No, we don't want to treat your granddaughter that way. Oh, your grandmother's very nice. So the bartender played along with it.
Oh, that's... Oh,
and okay. They ended up high-fiving at the end. They're like, okay, see you later at home, grandma, and all that. So I thought that was a good example of a customer eavesdropping something and, like, jumping to the defense.
I will say, like, I've been very fortunate, and same as you. Customers eavesdropping, or you eavesdropping on customers are very... sometimes you hear, like, boring things like movies or books, like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's cool, like, whatever, like, books and movies at the same time. It's like, cool, like, oh, you like this movie, or you like House of Leaves, or whatever it is. But then you, like, listen to, you overhear, like, customers that are talking about something serious, and you're like, oh, no.
Yeah, no, those, I also, we have the power to eavesdrop and the power to choose not to. So, yeah. If it's something very personal, I don't really, like, I tune off. I make a point to go talk to somebody else and not pay attention. Like, we don't want to get into people's business when it's serious. But when it's a first date or a nice little silly petty argument, I love it.
Yeah, first dates are the best because people aren't good at talking.
Yeah, I eavesdropped once a first date where the guy, English was his second language, but he had full communication skills.
Like, yo soy machismo.
No, he was having like a fine conversation. And the girl, the American girl, was constantly... stopping him, correcting, and explaining the difference between I get it versus I got it.
Oh,
because semantically, weird. It makes difference. And she was just being so condescending. And I just remember thinking, you know that he meant I got it. I understood.
Yeah.
And yeah, so things like that, I'm like, ooh.
That's weird. Like, that's not, I mean, it's that's one of those things where, like, I don't know, don't be rude to people, but yeah, I get what you're saying. That's super interesting.
Another story online that we had was that this one was somebody that did not overhear something that maybe they should have. There was a couple sitting at the bar having a drink. It was a busy, busy Friday or Saturday night. And it's a big place that had a bouncer, so it has security, right? Suddenly, the bouncer is grabbing this woman and kicking her out of the restaurant. And I think it's in the UK by the language choice, but they told the bartenders, like, they whispered quietly because they're not going to yell in the middle of the floor, saying, we've got a shagger.
What's a shagger?
Somebody that went to have sex in the bathroom. And then the guy suddenly asked the bartender, why is my wife being kicked out?
Oh, no way.
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. So,
she was in the bathroom with somebody. Security caught her, but it wasn't her husband.
Oh, no.
And by the sounds of it, he also did not know that it was happening, so it wasn't an agreement.
Oh, no. That's, yeah. Wowie, wowie, wowie.
I know. I thought that was a good one.
Yeah, that's a very good... Oh, my goodness. How embarrassing... A, it'd be embarrassing to be kicked out for that reason, if you don't know what it is. B, it'd be emasculating to be have your wife kicked out. And C, it'd be just like... Wow, that's, yeah.
I know. Imagine finding out that way.
Yeah, that's not okay. Like, whatever your relationship is, love is love. Love is love. That's what we say on this podcast, love is love. But, wow, that'd be terrible.
Yeah.
So, Anna, what are you drinking today? I'm looking at you. You're not having a shot.
Oh, yeah, I'm having a vodka soda. But what's interesting here is that Logan is having orange juice.
No. I was having a screwdriver. I've already finished my screwdriver.
But... even with the vodka in it, I've never seen in the many years that I know Logan, he ever touch orange juice.
Okay, so listen, it's a juice, it's orange. I thought it would go well with the vodka. It did. I called it a screwdriver.
You just wanted to do a little change today? Yeah. You're feeling wild?
It was huge.
Feeling adventurous? You're like, I'm going to have an
so
vodka
what
orange.
Did we do earlier this week, Miss Anna? What did we do with something called Applejack?
Oh, yeah. Actually, forgetting all the important things.
Yeah, I know. Don't worry. I remember.
We had a great...
So remember, both Anna and I are both Virgos. I remember everything. Anna, not so much.
No, I have a horrible memory. It's bad sleep for years.
What happened earlier this week?
So on Monday, I hosted a tasting for a really interesting Lithuanian brand of Applejack, Apple Spirits, which was quite cool. I liked that it turned out to be everyone that we know ended up feeling like we had like 15 people and everyone there was people that we know. So we could actually have like an open conversation about the spirit. We tasted really fun things. So we tasted an applejack, an aged one, an unaged one. We tasted a gin that's made with an apple spirit base, which was really cool.
Oh, I didn't know it was made with an apple spirit. That was very cool.
It's a very good gin. And then we tried their whiskeys, and which is made of barley, like a standard whiskey. Mm-hmm. And we got to know a really interesting... she will be a guest in our podcast. We already talked to her. We got her in. So hopefully in the next few weeks, we're going to get her in. Yeah. She works helping out a lot of brands from the EU to break into the Chinese market. So it was really interesting to get to know her. The products were delicious and the cocktails are great. Barbarian hosted us, a cocktail bar in Wooding Road.
Can you talk a little bit about what Applejack is for the people? And then the cocktail you made, the red one. Like, I know what it's called, but I'm being very dumb on purpose.
Okay. So...
because the cocktail you made was very good, and it's a classic cocktail, but...
Yes. A classic cocktail.
It is.
No, I know. I'm making hand gestures, but yes. Applejack is traditionally from the U.S. Funny enough, the pilgrims brought a lot of apple trees because it survived really well in the New England area, like the northeast of the United States.
Take that, Oscar Fuchs.
Yes, especially in the like New Jersey area.
Yep.
Brandies in general, brandy is a spirit that's made out of fruit. So cognac is a type of brandy made with grapes. We have Calvados in Spain, which is made with... the Calvados apple, but Applejack traditionally is very American, so it was really interesting to see somebody else make similar with like sweet apples, big juicy apples, and make similar type of liqueur,
but very interesting,
outside of like New England area. So
New Jersey is not New England.
No, I mean, not nowadays, the old...
never. New Jersey is New Jersey.
No, but it's not only New Jersey. It's that entire, like, northeast area where the...
Oh, so this is where I get to correct the tequila queen. Ladies and gentlemen of the podcast, Anna always gets to correct me, and she's normally right because she's awesome. Laird's Applejack is from New Jersey.
But there are other brands.
There's no other brand than Laird's.
Well, I guess.
Sponsored by Laird's. No, we're not. Actually,
well, in this logic, sure, he's right.
We're just joking around. But no, Applejack is normally an apple-based brandy, and the apples, for whatever reason, whatever type of apples they use are a cold weather apple, right? And that's what you get from New Jersey. New England is a little bit too cold, so it's not an apple-producing state or region, New England being a group of states. You would have more of your apples in the southern part of New Jersey where it's warmer, but it's not super warm. Boom in your face.
I
next
stand corrected.
Level.
Don't need to rub it in. I'm gonna hold on to this for the future.
Everybody gets one on this podcast.
It's one in your face. Great.
Okay, so you did this beautiful presentation on Monday. We're at this bar. Anna is very dressed up. She's got a presentation behind her. She talks about this Lithuanian apple brandy, which was absolutely fantastic. It was 24% alcohol, I think, right?
No, 45.
Oh, that's why I was so drunk for the rest of the week.
Yeah, it was 45%, was a strong one with a punch, which I appreciate. Great for cocktails. And the cocktail we've made was a Jack Rose.
Yeah, tell me more about the Jack Rose, because I think that's such a cool cocktail.
Yeah, so Jack comes from Applejack.
Yep.
You can help me correct me again. Is it because of Jack and Rose from Titanic?
No,
why
no,
is the
no.
Rose part? But...
Because of the color.
Is it because of the color? That's it? Oh, okay. So the cocktail is usually made with Applejack, lemon, and grenadine syrup, which, you know, grenadine. But
grenadine being pomegranate.
Yeah, pomegranate syrup. But this time we made with a hibiscus
syrup
to make a little bit more, you know, a little bit different, a little bit more punchy. But yeah,
it was really good cocktail. Delicious. It was a fantastic cocktail.
Yeah, 45% alcohol, so people really had fun.
I thought it was 24. I don't know where I got. Maybe I'm getting dyslexic with my old age. I thought it was 24%, for real.
No. 45. The whole line was 45.
So if you know anything about me, you know I'm very good at talking to people. And so I left with all the bottles of alcohol.
That's true. He was gifted every sample bottle left.
to my point, I thought it was very funny, but I thought it was all 24%. Now I know it's 42 and it's making me, or 45, sorry.
45, not even 42, yeah.
Wow. Wowie, wowie, wowie. Well, that explains a lot, guys. So, Anna, what else would you have with Applejack? Like, because I think that was such a cool thing. You had such a great presentation. Obviously, I'm going to be a big fan no matter what you do. But, like, what were your thoughts? Because I think a lot of people don't understand alcohol presentations like that.
Yeah. For me, I like doing it. I like talking to the consumer about it and all that. Obviously, it's something that I think a lot of brands do really well, and a lot of brands have to improve a little bit, because sometimes the brands are so passionate about a lot that they're doing that they can make the presentations that they write behind the scenes quite boring for the other side. Like, so I think there's a lot of room for improvement on that, because ultimately, even when you're working for these brands or helping these brands, you need to use their materials, right? Because they kind of decide what they want to showcase. And some brands will do mission statements and, you know, things like that, that like nobody is going to spend an afternoon interested in company structures, right? Like, it's just not.
Yeah, it's too much.
Yeah, it's your corporate side. So I think that there is a room for more brands to make the presentations more interesting in general. But overall, it's cool, especially in a small group that we had, because it becomes a room that's open for questions and conversations and back and forth. I love Applejack. I think when it comes to the brandy department, it's probably one of my favorites. For people at home, it's not a liqueur. It's not artificially flavored. It's actually apple juice fermented, so into like a cider, and then distilled, and then aged, usually in American oak barrels. It tastes a lot like if you had an apple whiskey. So it doesn't really have a lot of that flavor of apple initially, but every time you add to a cocktail, when you add a sour element, those notes of apples really come out. Yeah. So anything sour with Applejack brings out those apple notes. So I love something kind of like the same recipe of a whiskey sour, but with Applejack, Jack Rose, or even if you really play on that stone fruit flavors and use anything like peach, pear, or anything kind of like that autumn fruits. You can kind of get like a lot of really nice flavor out. I like to butter wash it as well.
Oh, wowie, wowie.
Yeah, then you use...
Explain to the people what butter washing is.
You basically heat up anything, any type of fat to fat wash, but butter is one. No salt. Mistakes I've made in the past.
I've made
salt in one, and I'm like, that's not the flavor it should have. You heat up so you can get it to a liquid state. You add this liquid state into the alcohol, and then you put it in the freezer. All the solids are going to get frozen, but the alcohol won't, because the freezing point is lower. So you remove the solids, and you still get all that fatty flavor in the alcohol. So if you butter wash Applejack, you can use a little bit of an apple syrup or even apple juice, and you can get the apple pie crust flavor to it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, put some cinnamon on top. It's like really crushable. So I am actually a fan of Applejack, and I know it's a small, kind of like not so known of a category, but it's definitely delicious.
Oh, that's such a cool idea. I mean, I think we should have a whole thing about just doing masterclasses, because it's very, very, very interesting. Your masterclass was a masterclass in presentation. It was super fun to watch. It was very lucky that we were with friends that we all knew. What would you say were the hindrances? Like anything that held you back, or you thought maybe I shouldn't do this or should do this?
I had some issues with the actual presentation, because it came from the brand in Lithuania, and I feel like it was very telling that English wasn't the first language of that presentation. It was like translated. So it was hard to kind of follow up on the content.
Oh, the guy was an oligarch.
No, but it's more like...
Wasn't he?
I don't know. I don't know his personal life
details. She works there. I don't... The guy, it's his picture on all the bottles, and it was very interesting to see.
No, for me, it was more like I can tell that it was initially in Lithuanian, and then was kind of translated maybe like on Google Translate or something. So some of the sentence structure would start and then not follow up with what they were talking about.
Well, I thought it was very interesting, the bottles. The bottles were terrible.
I don't think it's terrible, but I understand it's not for the Chinese market. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I can see it in like a San Francisco tattooed kind of parlor bar, You know, like yeah, with the circular crap. Like it's very hipster.
Yeah, it's very, very hipster. Like the thing that I thought about it, and we talked to Lena, that was the lady who was representing him from the EU of all places. And she was saying, like, oh, what do you guys think about the bottles? I was like, you can't sell this on, you couldn't put this on a table in China.
Yeah, in China, I think that's the wrong packaging, but I understand where they came from. I understand in, like, again, especially for the hipster cocktail bars, I can see it's a little of like a medicine bottle kind of thing. So I see why those decisions were made, but I agree. For China, it just doesn't,
yeah,
doesn't work.
It's a weird thing. And for China, like, what you need is ostentatious displays of just being like, you have it on your bottle. But you buy a bottle on the table, you're spending money, and you want to show people you're spending money. And I think that's where we are here. And that's totally fair.
Yeah, I think it's more of a cocktail bar type of product anyway. But I even think for the cocktail bar, if somebody's going to have that on the rocks or neat, or it's not a bottle that has that type of like appeal. But yeah. But it's not uncool. But yeah, I think that was one thing. And the second thing was just, Lithuanian is really hard. All the name of the cities and the name of the locations and the name of the people involved. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, honestly, you did such a good job trying to say the names, but
I just went for that thing that if I say wrong, I'm just going to commit to it. And that's how it's named now.
Respect. Yeah.
This is the name. That's how I call it. And like,
you are now called Mythuania.
Yeah, that's it. That's the word that came out of my mouth. And that's going to be the name. But no, it was fun. And
definitely, I mean, there was a lot of party cities.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it was a great presentation, Anna. You did such a good job. I was happy to be there. I was happy to get all the booze. And that was super dumb that I had all the booze at the end of the night.
At 45%, and you've been drinking it like it's 20.
Yeah, I thought it was 24%. So my poor IE. Because we were having shots earlier today. Anyway, going back from that, Anna, what else has gone on with you today?
Well, I'm here with you having a vodka soda, and that's...
You're just waiting around? Okay, so I'll fill in the time. We're drinking vodka sodas. Why are we drinking vodka sodas today? Because today is National Vodka Day.
Is it?
Yeah.
For real?
Yeah.
Oh, we could have started with this. Happy Vodka Day, everybody.
Oh, well, yeah. I thought people would get that. But yeah,
I had no
National
idea.
National Vodka Day. So we'll release on Saturday, so it won't be National Vodka Day then. We're recording in the taco truck on a Thursday. Anna's now checking her phone, but yeah, it's National Vodka Day. So I always want to ask, what do you think? Who made vodka first? Do you think there's Russians, Polish people? Say Poland claims vodka, Russia claims vodka.
A lot of the well,
Slavic countries will say vodka.
I was gonna say more as in like the Soviet Union in general, like all those like all those countries have a very strong claim. Now it's more between like center Europe versus Eastern Europe. I don't know which one has a stronger claim because, yeah, the Russians versus the Polish, when they all have origin stories for vodka. I will be very controversial on this. I think that because vodka is basically the pure interpretation of getting ethanol and just putting enough water to be drinkable,
mm-hmm.
I feel like many places around the world have come up with the same thing without actually copying somebody else. But I feel like kind of everyone made vodka because vodka can be made of anything.
Yeah. Well, George Harris said that once. He was talking about like he had a song and he made it up in a dream. And then it sounded like something else. But he's like, no, I didn't do this. It was a famous lawsuit that happened. And yeah, it was just things happen in the ether sometimes.
Yeah, but I feel like if somebody, let's say, in Scotland had just got their barley and kept distilling it and added water to it, they basically made a vodka. And same thing for grains in the areas like Poland, potatoes in other areas, and all that milk even. Like, I feel like you find places in Asia that come up with a recipe similar to vodka back in the day, right? And
yeah,
same for Europe. So I feel like nobody has, like, this absolute claim. Now, claim on the name vodka becomes a little more complicated.
Oh, yeah. No,
I think, and everyone, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like it derives from Russian.
Yeah, this is not my area of expertise.
The name,
either.
Like, yeah, because what it basically is just as high of alcohol as you can get and you add water. So that's the recipe. So, yeah. I'm not too involved in the vodka wars.
Like, yeah, yeah. But there are vodka, well, that's a very good way to put it, because there are actual not people, hopefully not people losing their lives or anything, but there are vodka discussions.
Yeah, consumer wars on vodka. But I feel like I am also very open-minded about vodkas. There's only like, there's a threshold of quality, and then I feel like everything above that quality, they're all kind of the same in the sense of like, they pass the standards and I'm happy with any. I don't have like a favorite vodka.
Oh, I've been doing Goose a lot now.
Like but I feel like when you're talking about a Grey Goose versus a Belvedere versus a Kettle One versus,
well, so
you're kind of all in that same level of quality there that like I almost don't have like a favor between them.
Because I mean, Chopin is gonna be our Chopin.
Yeah,
that's gonna be a potato.
Yeah. Then
everything else is wheat.
Black milk is milk.
What's black milk?
It's a British milk vodka. It's pretty good.
Okay.
It's like the same taste as normal vodka, but it's very creamy texture, like very rich texture. There are more. There are grape vodkas as well.
Yeah, there's G-Vine, right?
That's gin. But, that's gin. But I think they have a vodka. And there are grape vodkas as well. Yeah, there's a few others. Like there's...
No, I mean, you can make a vodka. And I think what Anna's saying, it's an unaged product. So you can put ethanol, age it, and then do your magic. Like, you're not putting it in an oak barrel and
aging. You're just adding water, basically. I feel like once you reach a quality of, like, clean equipment, quality booze, as in cutting the heads and the tails to just get those hearts of the alcohol. So, you know, not a lot of methanol and a lot of acetone. Like easy for human consumption, high quality spirit. And then you add good quality water in a very clean facility, boom, we have really good vodka. Like, you, it is almost, they kind of peak at one point, right?
Yeah.
So I know that some, and I don't remember, but I know that some, there is only, I think, a couple places in the world that can use like natural spring water instead of distilled water in their vodkas because of purity levels.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So I'm not sure. Please, somebody at home, Google it. But it might be Grey Goose is one of them. And there's another vodka that can do the same.
Well, like, I know with Grey Goose, it's like what I was explaining to it. So I was like, oh, it's just an expensive Vidal Sassoon brand. Because it is Vidal Sassoon. And I was explaining, like, no, France makes really good breads. And you can see the level of their grain quality in the vodka. And, like, they do this thing where they pour the vodka over a baguette. Like, have you ever seen that? They pour it over bread. Oh, super cool. Like, it's one of those things. It's very interesting because you're like, oh, I get it now. Like, sometimes something clicks and you're like, I get it.
They do, like, a sluge, but it's a baguette.
Yeah.
Like, you have a you shot of vodka out of the baguette.
You don't eat. Yeah, you know.
you just get a whole baguette. You put it in your mouth. You, like, put it upwards and people just down vodka on it.
This is going to be the best baguette ever. I said a lot of baguettes. No, these are not called forgets. They're called baguettes, and they're amazing. Thank you. Applause. No, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. No, the baguette, so that you pour them over a baguette, and it's a French baguette, and it's, you could see what the wheat tastes like. And that's very interesting. It's the weirdest thing I ever saw, and they do it toasted. I've seen it before. It's very, very interesting. And it's like a cool thing because you forget, like, Grey Goose or Kettle One are wheat-based. And you forget the fact that wheat has a flavor profile.
Yeah.
And, like, we just think vodka is odorless, tasteless, colorless thing, right?
Oh, you know, I'll say a really interesting vodka that I had. I had an, I don't know if it was oat-based or if it was oat-infused vodka from High West, American vodka.
That
was really, really, really good.
Oh, that's so cool.
It had a flavor. It had a flavor of oats. I think it's that they make the vodka and then, like, through grains, but then they, I think they filter it through oats. So is it still completely clear and all that, but it had this hint of, like, oats to it, and it was really good. I haven't seen it in years. If anyone has an opportunity, it's not super expensive, but it's probably more crafts, harder to find. High West vodka is delicious.
Yeah, High West is very cool. They do a lot of cool stuff. Well, I mean, I think with that note,
we're going to wrap it up.
I want to tell you it's not World Vodka Day. I just made that up. Just wanted to talk about something.
Another gotcha moment.
No, it wasn't a gotcha. This is not gotcha journalism. We're not what we do here at China on the Rocks.
Yeah, the name of the episode is going to be the one with the World Vodka Day.
Yeah, the one about World Vodka Day. Anyway, guys, we really want to say thank you so much for listening to us. We're trying to make better content. Now we have headphones, so we are a step above.
Oh, my God. It feels so professional now that we can hear each other.
It's so weird. But anyway, guys, thank you for listening to China of the Rocks. Give us a like and a plus if you subscribe.
We're here for you every Saturday, and we hope to see you soon.
See you. Cheers.
Bye.